Father's Day. One day. So you get to bask in the glory. I wish it was a little bit more blue outside, but maybe we need a day inside. I don't know. But I want to bless you as dads. I want to thank the dads who are here for recognizing that part of our role as of being a dad is celebrating our Heavenly Father. And that's a part of the fathering role that we have. You know, I really, really tried, probably too long, to find some kind of cute, funny video, dad video. But I actually couldn't. All the dad videos were either kind of preachy at dads, or they were, you know, sappy and schmaltzy with not a lot of humor in them. And so I just opted to pass by that for today. But I do want us to take a moment. I just want to give us a couple moments just to consider our own dads. Some of us, you know, when we think of our dads, we get a huge smile. Some of us don't. But either way, they're part of life. And so I just offer us a minute to remember them, however it works in our life. And also I want to thank God for being the Father to all of us. God, I pray that in these moments of remembering our fathers, our dads, if there's pain in our heart, I pray that you would soothe that pain. Be the Father that they weren't. If it brings joy or good memories to us, I thank you for that. I thank you for the men who take that responsibility and handle it wisely. And for every father in this room, I pray that you would help us father well. In Jesus' name. Amen. And today I want to talk to the dads, in particular on Father's Day. I chose one verse that will be pretty evident. If you're a mom here, the things I say to dad really can work for you too, but I'm going to target them at dads. If you're not a father or a mother, there may be some relational things that work for you, and if not, I'm praying that God would speak to you in some other place in this service. But I did want to take a couple moments today to speak to the dads among us. And the scripture that we'll look at is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. One lone verse. It's pretty loaded, however. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So there's two things God's Word says to us. Don't exasperate your kids, and train your kids, raise your kids to know Jesus. That's really what God says there. And I've been playing with that word, exasperate. By the way, Paul and the Holy Spirit is not just speaking to us as dads when we have little kids, but as the kids grow. And so when we think about fatherhood, it's not just babies in arms. It's, you know, teenagers, 20s. Some of us as fathers, you know, have 30s and 40s and others. So we're a father for a lifetime. How do we exasperate our kids? I think we can do it pretty easily, I think I heard someone say. And so I thought about this. I want you to put on your business hats for a minute, your working hat for a moment. And if you're a boss, I don't want you to think so much about being the boss of other people. I want you to think about when you were a subordinate to some other boss. What is it about that boss, that person, that would exasperate you in the workplace? How about a boss who simply dismisses your ideas? There's some kind of meeting going on and you want to share an idea and it just gets dismissed. It's just slid off the table as if you're not even there. Probably he already knows what he wants. She already knows what she wants, and so they're going there. Does that exasperate you? Ticks me off. How about the boss who wants to kind of pretend that they understand your job, but you know they really don't have a clue? They don't know the pressures of what you do. They may have a bigger picture. They may have their own pressures. I'm not saying they don't. But when it comes down to what you really have to do, the things you have to manage, the things you have to take care of, they really have no clue about that, or at least you feel like that. What about in the larger corporate structures, the bosses who are at the headquarters, but you're someone else, and so they swoop in for couple days, have a couple quick meetings, then they're out. And they assume that whatever works wherever they are should work where you are. Does any of that exasperate you, or did any of that exasperate you? I was trained as an engineer, and so as guys would go off to work, you know, they'd leave college. The one word that always came back, because most of us were going into some kind of a mill setting. It may be a Procter & Gamble manufacturing plant. It may be a steel plant. It was some sort of manufacturing plant. And the word that came back from everybody is, don't make this mistake. You are the greenhorn rookie engineer. When you go down on the plant floor, don't walk around like you know everything. Don't let one of your first tasks be to tell off that foreman who's been doing whatever job he's doing. He's been doing it for 30 years. And I watched more guys lose their jobs because they didn't understand that. They didn't value the people on the floor. And they thought that they knew everything. Think that ticked off that foreman? You bet. And who does the company think is more valuable? The guy who can run the process. Junior engineers are a dime a dozen. So what is it that exasperated you at work about the person above you? Now I ask you that so that you can take the seat of your child or children for a moment. Because a lot of times it's those same kinds of things that exasperate them. Now, you know, if your children's still in arms, wait a few years. But when they start growing and they're 10 and they're 12 and they're 14 and they begin having thoughts, I mean, you may have to correct and mold all that. I'm not saying we don't have to do that. But that's when we can also exasperate them, where they become angry at us because they're not being heard. So what about the boss who dismisses your ideas? Do you sometimes dismiss the ideas that your, you know, older children have? Maybe they want to do this, that, or the other thing, and they want to kind of share their point, and you're just, nope, we don't do it that way. And do you just dismiss it out of hand as if they have nothing they could say, that it might not actually be worthwhile? You do that all the time, and what's going to happen? The kid's going to clam up. What about the ones who say, you don't understand? You know, we may not. Life is changing at an incredible pace. For good or for bad, it is changing. And what I went through in high school is not what my kids went through in high school. And the kinds of things I had to deal with in the high school or the college were not the kinds of things kids have to deal with now. And if I simply assume that this is the way I could get through it, and here's how you do it, and I don't take time to understand their situation and what it's like now, are they going to listen to me? I don't think so. I think they're going to check out. Oh, Dad. Done, closed. What about the boss who swoops in for a few moments and then zips back to wherever he is? Do we swoop into family life for a few moments here and there and then disappear back to work, corporate, and assume that as we do that, they automatically have to listen? Being a dad is one of the toughest jobs in the world. For most of us, we're on one hand trying to earn a living that can support our kids in a way we would love to support them, that we can support our family in the way we would love to support them, and that comes with enormous pressure. And if you're the primary breadwinner, you carry that on your shoulders. And it's sometimes hard to explain that to someone who doesn't carry that burden, but you do. But still, if we're going to live up to this, we have to be careful that we don't live in such a way that all they want to say is, "Oh, Dad!" Or maybe they don't even say that anymore. They simply slam the door and say other things behind that door because we're disconnected. I think that's what God the Holy Spirit is getting at. Don't act in such a way that they cut off, that they disconnect. To exasperate is to agitate, to cause to become angry. Do they always hear us correct and never praise? That gets pretty tiring as an employee. Imagine if you live with the person who's always correcting and never praising. Dads, we have a tough job. Exasperating our kids doesn't help. Now Paul says, don't exasperate instead. He says, so here, let me give you an instead. And instead he says, train your child in the instruction of the Lord. Raise your children to follow Jesus. It sits on our shoulders, not just our wives, not just the mother's shoulders. Now, in the ancient world, the mom would kind of train or teach the young baby until a certain age. We would probably associate it kind of with school age. But once a child got to school age, then it became the responsibility of the father in the Roman society, in the Greco-Roman society, to train and educate that child so they could live a productive life. You can understand why Paul turns to them and really does finger the father in this case. Now, I think in our world that probably at that point it really is fathers and mothers, because we don't quite have that division. But dads, we have to be really careful that we don't let go of that job altogether. You know, that the spiritual work in the home, that's mom's job. I'll make the money. I will, give them instruction about college and life. But the spiritual deal, we'll leave that to mom. Please, dads. Please. Try not to go there. And for me, one of the really helpful places to go is actually the ancient book of Deuteronomy and some words that Moses put. And of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but put there by Moses. And Moses wrote these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These are the commands that I give you today, and they are to be on your hearts. This is the heart of Israel. This is called the Shema. It was the most important text in the ancient Deuteronomy books. Now look, it says, these are the commandments I give you today. They're to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, you can take that as a letter of the law and you can, you know, write God's word on your door frames. But I think if we listen to that passage, God's saying something even bigger than that. God is saying that we are to weave our faith in Jesus into everyday life. So when life calls you to walk your kids here or there. Maybe you're wandering around town on a weekend. Are there moments where you can share God's love with them? See, as you weave Jesus into your life, they'll see the pattern. So when you're kind to people as you're walking and talking with the kids, they'll see that. And they'll observe that as a faith distinctive for you. When you give generously and regularly, they'll see that and understand that as a faith distinctive in your life. When you sense something isn't right and you talk about it in the family, when you watch a news program, even like what happened in Charleston this week. And you say things like that shouldn't happen. They'll be hearing that conversation. You see, the idea of this passage in Moses is that as God is woven into the very fabric of our own lives, the children with whom we are living will see it when you worship, when you read the Bible, when you pray at meals, when you discuss what it means to follow Jesus at home. They'll hear that and they'll say, oh, that's what life with God is about. And when you talk about the things of God with them directly, they'll see it as something that's a part of your life and not just something I gotta do, you know. Dads, parents, we have one of the toughest jobs in the world. And it's not getting any easier as the world changes more quickly. Because as the world changes more quickly, we're going to be out of touch more quickly. And we're not really going to understand what they're experiencing. And if we don't know that, then how do we speak God into their lives? And so my challenge is simply this. Do the best you can. Keep letting Jesus impact your life so that they see your ever-changing and always growing faith. And spend time with your kids. You can't always schedule quality time with other human beings. But you can schedule quantities of times with other human beings. And in the quantity, there will be quality. Dads, you've got a great job. A tough one. Let's do it as best we can. In Jesus' name. Amen.